The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. And I'm going to invite you to be seated for this Gospel reading because it's kind of a long one, so we'll let you sit down for it. So in the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was the descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot. That's sort of like choosing straws, except the short straw wins in this case. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. There are many priests, and you only get one chance usually to get chosen to do this. So he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then the Lord appeared to him. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And with the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his house. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months, she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." The Gospel of the Lord. At the end here, Elizabeth names the disgrace that she has experienced due to being unable to have children. One scholar notes that at that time, being able to have children was essential for carrying on the family name. It was also essential for continuing on the covenant of Israel. To not be able to have children, to be barren, which was seen as the wife's fault, to be barren was a tragedy. It was a disgrace. At that time, it was even seen as a sign of God's punishment. That's how people looked at it then, which is also a tragedy. We human beings have this tendency to blame people for their situation or to really blame ourselves for things that are sometimes outside of our control. There are certainly times when we do things that we make bad choices and then we face consequences for that. But there are also many, many times where people go through things that are not their fault. Whether it be a health concern or people experiencing generational poverty, or like Elizabeth, this inability to have a child. For Elizabeth, because of what people believed back then, the neighbors are likely pretty judgmental of her. As she shares, she's experienced disgrace among them. And yet, though the neighbors tell this story of disgrace and judgment about Elizabeth, God tells a different story. Through Luke, we read that God lets us know that both Elizabeth and Zechariah are righteous. We read they live blamelessly before God. They are good and holy people. So there's no punishment happening here. There's not something wrong with Elizabeth. So the neighbors tell this story of shame and judgment. That story they tell is a lie. The story that God tells is far different. God helps the truth about Elizabeth come out. Elizabeth is righteous and blameless. It's just that life has been unfair. And so God is going to choose to work through her, someone other people saw as a disgrace. God is going to work through her to accomplish God's purposes. It might invite us to wonder, what stories do we tell about ourselves, about our own weaknesses or shame that are not true? Or what stories do we tell about other people or groups of people that are not true? And what stories does God tell? What we see in the Gospel of Luke is God tells a story of new life through Jesus again and again. That God tells a new story right now, what we just heard, for Zechariah and Elizabeth. But it's not just a story for them, it's a story for all their people. And this story is going to point to the saving grace of Jesus. Now, if we look at Zechariah, I mentioned he has this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to enter the sanctuary, to get to offer these prayers of incense. And then he has an angel show up and says to him, "Your prayer has been heard." You kind of got to wonder, what prayer has been heard? Is it a prayer for his nation, that they will be freed from oppression? Is it a prayer for a Messiah to come? Is it a prayer for a son? We kind of assume it's a prayer for a son because that's what happens. But you also got to wonder, is this Zechariah's prayer anymore? Or was this his prayer 10 or 15 years ago? Is it still his prayer? He mentions he's old and his, quote, wife is getting on in years. Does this continue to be his prayer? We don't know for sure. And yet God answers this very personal prayer for Zechariah and Elizabeth. And this personal prayer is going to have far-reaching effects on the whole community. That through John the Baptist, who prepares the way of Jesus, it has effects that lead all the way to today, where we are prepared for Jesus and his work in our lives. It's no wonder that Zechariah has a hard time believing this news. And then Gabriel gives him over 9 months of enforced silence. Quite frankly, I think that's a little unfair. Had an angel appeared to you or I in our older age and said, "You're going to have a baby, and by the way, this baby is going to be in the strength of the prophet Elijah, and it's going to turn people to the Lord," I think we would also be asking some clarifying questions. One person put it this way. They said the angel Gabriel got a little testy, took out the divine clicker, and hit the mute button for Zechariah. Sometimes we may wish he would hit that button again for some of us, but especially around the Thanksgiving table, if there's been any tenuous conversations. I wonder, though, what that time of silence was like for Zechariah. He has this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to enter the sanctuary, and then when he comes out, he's supposed to offer a blessing on all the people. And he comes out, and he can't say a word. As many of you know, I've shared before, that I know a thing or two about being unable to speak. Nearly 11 years ago, my vocal cord was permanently paralyzed through surgery, and my vocal cords adapted so I can speak today, but I was really unable to talk with full voice for 5.5 months. To be unable to do what you are called to do as a pastor, or at that time as a parent of young children, it's incredibly frustrating and limiting. The big thing is, before my vocal cord was paralyzed, my prayer was to get through the thyroid cancer as quickly as possible, to heal up and move on. I healed up from the thyroid cancer, but then ended up with several months of struggling to communicate, and also a lifelong loss of what my voice once was. My prayer was answered. I got through the thyroid cancer. I'm able to speak today, but it's not answered how I'd hoped for or when I'd hoped. I think we all have had or will have that experience of praying and hoping and living in the uncertainty of prayers that we know are heard but are not yet answered. Gabriel promises Zechariah that he doesn't need to be afraid. His prayer has been heard. It might have been a prayer from 10 years ago, but it's a prayer that has been heard. And so what prayers are you holding on to right now? What ones do you long to have answered? This year, for the 4 weeks leading up to Advent and worship, we're going to try the same thing that we did last Advent a year ago. Hopefully you were able to receive those blue cards. Did you receive them? So they have an outline of a candle on it, and in it you can write your hope and your prayer right now. What is your hope and your prayer? And you can make it as specific or as general as you want, knowing that someone else is going to see this prayer. Last year, a lot of people didn't write their names. They just wrote general prayers. And when we come forward for communion, you're invited to place those prayers in the bowl that's up in front of the baptismal font as a way of offering those prayers to God. And then when we leave here today, we'll move that bowl out, and we invite you to pick up someone else's prayer and to pray for that prayer just for this next week. As we prepare for Christmas, we will once again be a community that is praying for each other. Again, the expectation is that we just pray this prayer for 1 week, and then next week we'll have a different one we may pick up if we'd like. The thing is, I happen to know that one of our students here at Calvary picked up a couple of those prayers a year ago, and they have continued to pray for those two prayers this entire year. So a couple of you, your prayers that you placed in that bowl, someone else, one of our young people, has been praying for it for an entire year. Maybe even when you've struggled to pray that prayer yourself over this past year, someone else has been giving voice to your prayer. Your prayer has been heard. When Zechariah hears his prayer has been heard, he has over 9 months of imposed silence. 9 months to think about what all this means. And when the silence is up, when John is born, the Holy Spirit opens Zechariah's mouth, and the first thing he does is praise God. I think about people who live as though their prayers have been heard, even if their prayers have not yet been answered. Lately, I've been thinking a lot about a couple that I once knew. This couple, a man and a woman, they sought to serve well into their 80s. They were in another community, and they lived in a townhome across from the nursing home. And they would go over and serve often in that nursing home, helping with activities, calling bingo numbers, or going to visit people. The man had, during his career, had learned how to fix things. And so even though it was really hard for him to get around, he would go to people's homes and still fix things. Because he had the gifts to do it, he continued to serve in that way. Decades before, she had been a nurse in a big city. And she served people there who had been in desperate situations. And that experience moved her to compassion her whole life. She would also go and sit with people for hours who were dying so that they would not be alone, especially if they didn't have family close by. And I remember walking out of church one Sunday, and we were singing, "Soon and very soon we are going to see the King." This song about Jesus coming again. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. As I walked out, I saw this couple sitting in the back row laughing. And later they told me, they said to one another, "You know, it's going to be sooner for some of us than others." And then when this man was nearing death, she said that there was a moment where it seemed like he was looking right at Jesus. That was her experience, and that's what she trusted. And when we would sit together for Bible study, going over some kind of Bible story, sometimes she would say, "Isn't it just all about love? Like, are we making it too complicated? Isn't it just all about God's love?" And she lived that. This couple had prayers, deep and longed for prayers, that were unanswered in this life. They kind of knew that was going to be the case. And yet they sought to live faithfully through that. This couple remains for me an answer to some of my prayers. When I remember them, they remind me that there are people in the world who are seeking God's justice and God's compassion, people who are set on living out the love of Jesus as best as they can in the midst of heard but not yet answered prayers. May we also be those people for each other and for this world, living out the love and the light of Jesus as best we can with our heard prayers and even with the ones that are not yet answered. In Jesus' name, amen.